Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Josh.
Now, before we do the Adam and Eve promo, I'm going to preempt you. I'm canceling the show. I'm done with this show. Lost in the Static's over with.
Good night, everybody.
I'm just kidding.
Why? What? You were like, I'm going to do something off the top of the show. Just roll with me.
Do the Adam and Eve promo, and then I'll explain it.
Okay. All right.
Because the Adam and Eve promo, guys, pay attention.
It's changed.
It's different.
It's changed. We've changed a few things about it. Adam and Eve has been so happy with us that they've changed up the deal.
And I'm doing the jerk-off motion.
Yeah, I know. They haven't in any way changed up the deal for every podcast they sponsor. Not at all. Not
just
one.
Tell them what they get. Jesus. They get, I am going to cancel
off,
you.
First off, you still get 50% off one item. And hey, that's a good deal
that's good, right?
Yes. Okay, now before, we got 3 free DVDs.
Yep.
What if I doubled that?
Six?
Six free full-length wank movies.
Oh, my God. You're insane.
I had a British listener, by the way, write me and tell me he loves it when I say wank. Because he's like, Americans shouldn't say wank.
Just because of I love the way they say we have an accent, but we'll talk about that.
Well, we do. Anyway, so 6 free DVDs now instead of 3. And that's full-length movies, guys, not just little snippets or... You know,
collections.
Top 10 of Brazzers or whatever.
Don't
worry about it. Okay, so now we still get the free shipping. That's still there. Now, before you just got one mystery gift, right?
Yep.
Now you get a mystery gift for him. You get a mystery gift for her. And you get a mystery gift that both of you will enjoy. So 6 plus those 3, the free ship. Oh, that's 10 things.
You going to tell them what they got to do to get that, though?
Yes. Oh, you mean now? Oh,
yes. I would prefer now, or it's probably going to get lost in the static. See what I did?
At checkout, you use the code STATIC, STATIC, and we get a little percentage of what you get, so you're supporting the show, you get a nice warm feeling, and then you also get that nice orgasmic feeling for yourself and a partner if you've got one. If you don't, it's an excuse to find one.
All right, now do you want to know why I'm canceling us?
Why are you canceling us?
Because a fan doesn't like us.
Really?
I got an email that said, "I like Radiodrome and What the Fuck, but Lost in the Static is just it's just horrible, and I cannot stand the interactions between you two." He goes, "I wish you would just concentrate on Radiodrome and What the Fuck." So I'm canceling Lost in the Static. A single fan doesn't like the show? Well, then there's no point doing it, Scott.
I'm getting out of radio, and I'm going to stop using this voice, and I'm going to start using my real voice. No, I can't do that. I can't do that.
I was going to see how long you keep that up,
I can't.
If you guys can't tell, we don't really have a topic tonight. It's kind of a random whatever the fuck comes into our head.
We don't. It's been a while since we've recorded, and due to my work schedule being busy as hell, we haven't been able to do a whole lot of research on what we do want to cover.
We have a large project coming
up. I was going to say, we do have a large project coming up. Josh, why don't you tell them?
We are going to take an episode or a decade per episode, and we are going to look at the trends, the movies, the TV, the music, the news, the controversies, the good and bad of each decade starting at the 1970s. Problem is, we got to research that a little bit more than just when I came up with the idea on the drive over here.
Exactly. I kind of remember the 70s. I did have a pair of bell-bottom, the pants that go zoop, zoop, zoop when you... Corduroys.
You were only 5 when the 70s ended.
Yes, and I distinctly remember my brown bell-bottom corduroys.
Well, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks.
And a horizontal stripy shirt, red, black, and white. Boy, I was styling.
A zoot suit?
But no. No, it was like a polo shirt, but it had red, black, and white horizontal stripes that were... And I wore that with the brown corduroys and my Buster Brown shoes.
Well, one random
thing. Oh, wait, the fan doesn't like that. I'm out of radio.
You know what? That's it. I'm done, too. I can't stand somebody not liking this show. I mean, not liking me on Radiodrome. I'm used to that.
You get a whole meme to that.
Are you still offended that you're not as part of that? That
no, I'm not offended at all.
After you've seen how mean some of them are?
No, I don't care about how mean they are. It's I think it's funny because there was a little thing of like, they've got the faggot Josh for you. They did have level-headed Scott for a little bit. There's like a couple of level-headed Scotts.
I saw a couple of those.
There. And then there's also, I mentioned in a couple of the faggot Josh ones, which about a quarter of those I find funny.
There are a couple that are actually legit funny, and a lot of them are just stupid. I don't understand the humor, if there is any at all, in the ones that are saying something blatantly false and then going, fact! You know, like Chevy Chase was in 2001 A Space Odyssey. Fact! I don't understand why that's supposed to be funny. It's not even offensive or mean. It's just dumb. I don't understand why somebody would waste their time doing that.
I don't know. I really don't. And then we've had a couple, like Francis, our one of our Canadian fans that we adore.
Yeah, eh?
No, he's French Canadian.
I can't do a good French accent.
Yeah, that's right.
I was gonna say I can't do a good French accent. I was gonna try for a split second, and you guys didn't hear in that RoboCop Rides a Unicorn little documentary that I narrated, when I read the Olav quote, I actually did do a take where I'm doing a really bad Russian accent, and for whatever reason,
really
they decided
bad.
Not to use that. I don't know why.
Because it was a really, I've heard your Russian accent. It's horrible.
I said it was bad. I wasn't trying to say I was good at this. So there.
Reminds me of, there's a young lady that I work with, and she's been over here for a few years, but not too long. She's a pretty fresh immigrant from Latvia. And
I don't even know what the accent would be in Latvia.
Latvian.
I know, but I mean, I don't know what it would sound like, shithead.
Right, but she has a very heavy Latvian accent, and everybody uses the Spanish version of her name, which is wrong. And she's like, I have no idea how I became a Latina when I came over here. I'm pale. I mean, she's nearly albino. She's so pale.
Well, look at actors like John Leguizamo. He can play both a Mexican and an Italian.
I don't
know how he's okay. Is he Mexican? Is he Italian?
He's Mex-Italian.
I mean, at least in the old Kung Fu TV series, they explained why David Carradine looked more white.
Wait a minute.
His father was white in the show, and his mother was Chinese. So, okay, I bought that in 1972.
But no, the point that I was laughing at was somebody at work asked her one day, you know, blah, what part of Russia are you from? And she says, I'm not from Russia, I'm from Latvia. Well, where in Russia is Latvia? It's kind of like, really, the Ukraine? That's in Russia, right? No, that's the Ukraine.
It's still Eastern Europe, so I guess close enough, right?
Yeah, and, you know, to our, I guess to our credit, we were behind an iron curtain over there for, 40 years.
Well, it's not as bad. I can't remember if I've ever told this story on this show, but it's not as bad as that one dumb girl that I worked with at Channel 2. I mean, she was dumb. I mean, this is the kind of girl who you could get to go into an AutoZone and ask for blinker fluid.
Right.
Okay, this is, she's dumb.
Okay.
We had a German intern in the producing department. You know, thick German accent and everything. She was really nice.
Beautiful.
So, the dumb girl is Jewish. We're sitting all around the break room table one day doing scripts. Out of nowhere, everyone's silent. You know, we're marking our own scripts. She just goes, isn't it wonderful in this day and age that a German and a Jew can work side by side?
That is such a weird thing. Most Jewish people that I've met, now the Judaic religion...
But I mean, okay, people, first of all, you didn't see Scott's face.
I think the silence spoke for... You've... you've talked me into my own dumbness, and by dumbness I mean inability to speak, not
because and then the German girl who I cannot remember her name, this is like 8-9 years ago at this point, she just kind of had this look on her face like, I have no fucking clue how to react to this. So she just got up and left. Like, I'm not dealing with you. No, I'm done. I'm not dealing with you anymore.
I would have liked to have met the dumb Jewish girl. It would have been the first dumb Jewish person I've met. Simply because that the whole Jewish tradition really values education and study. I mean, it's really ingrained in Judaism. And
hey, Jews have dummies too.
I know, but I've not met very many of them. So, you know.
I'm sure they have ones that are bad with money too. There's a racial one right there. Yeah, huh?
That was yeah.
Over the line or right on it?
I've met one. anyway.
Yeah, so have I. My friend Brandon, he's Jewish by heritage, but he's an atheist by belief.
Right.
And he's like, you know what? This big fucking Jewish conspiracy is a lie because someone out there has got my fucking share. You know, I used to pick on him. And yes, he was okay with this. So it's not racist because, you know, I'm not racist. But like if he would get annoying, I'd just take a handful of change and go fetch Jew and throw it across the room. And he'd actually go and pick up all the change.
And pocket it.
Yeah.
So
and, you know, he's the guy that used to tell. And keep in mind, he is Jewish, and he would tell the joke, how was copper wire invented? Two Jews fighting over a penny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we descend
before,
down
yeah,
this
we go way down that hole,
racial
but
spiral of death. We
come
really,
on, am I a racist person, though? No,
no you
not.
Hate everyone equally.
Exactly. Thank you.
Oh, man.
See, that's the problem with random episodes. We don't know where we're going.
It's... Well, let's talk about changing geography. I mean, I don't know about you, but growing up for me until 1991, which was, you know, we were almost out of high school at that point.
Oh.
We only had a few years to go. Right, it was like, you know, there's England and then down to the south of that. And yes, I realize my geography is wrong, but deal with me. But it was England and across the channel was France and you had Spain and Italy and all of these great Western European countries and Germany and then
the fucking
Russia.
USSR
yeah.
breaks up and shit.
No, that's all it was when I was growing up, was big old blotch on the map just said USSR. And to us here in America, it was Russia, the whole damn thing. And then 1990 comes along.
I actually always heard that referred to as just the Eastern Bloc. You know,
well,
not so much Russia, but Eastern Bloc.
Well, Eastern Bloc is yeah, and that was, if you were a little bit better educated than elementary school at the time.
I was.
I was, but, you know, to my family and to many Americans that I met, it was just Russia. The whole Eastern Bloc was just, you know.
I read a lot.
And then in 1990, when it broke up, when the USSR kind of dissolved.
That's what we wanted you to think. You never saw that Simpsons, and then all of a sudden everything pops back up and all their military. Never mind.
So anyway, in 1990, when the USSR dissolved, I had to learn all of these new countries, and I'm still doing it. I'm horrible, I'll be honest. I, you know, the Ukraine, I know that's in the north somewhere, and Russia's kind of in the middle, but you get to things like Kazakhstan. I couldn't pick it out on a map. Or many of the former Russian, the former Russian republics, I guess, is what they're called now.
Well,
but
look at Africa. Look at how many times that there's a coup. And what is already, you know, a state will get split in half and become two more, and then there'll be another coup, and then that'll get split in half, and it's like, I have no idea where Africa, anything in Africa is anymore. I think Egypt is still there. I think Egypt is relatively up towards the top.
North Africa, which is Egypt, Libya, a few others up there, that's at least geographically relatively stable. Politically, a different story, but geographically been relatively stable. The middle of Africa, because
is nuts.
You know, when I remember learning that right in the middle of Congo, in the middle of darkest Africa is the Congo. not there anymore. I mean, all the stuff is, but they've changed their name.
Yeah.
And then Sudan became, you know, you get South Sudan. And
well, and then South Africa is, I mean,
well, it's relatively stable.
Yeah, relatively. I mean, after apartheid fell, South Africa really did stabilize a lot.
And quickly, and I was impressed by that.
Which is kind of surprising considering how fucking lopsided apartheid actually was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, apartheid was when I was growing up, on occasion my mom would have exchange students stay with us over the summer. So they would go and stay in the university during the school year, but then summer would come and they'd be like, well, I either go back to my country or I stay here.
And I don't really want
to
go back.
I don't really want to go back. So we had one from Nepal, and that was cool.
Viva Nepal!
No, Nepal was, he was, that was, that's where Everest is. and he was
really
cool.
I'm just thinking Marion Ravenwood.
And then we had one that I remember being from Sudan and one being from South Africa.
White or black?
Black. Although he had white relatives. So who knows?
It makes me think of that scene in Lethal Weapon 2. I want to go to South Africa, but you're black. Yeah.
As he described it, he said, studying his American history, he says, if you can imagine America in, you know, pre-Civil War days, that's exactly how South Africa is during apartheid. And when he was staying with us for that summer, it was still during apartheid. Hence the reason he was staying with us for the summer.
Exactly. But I still want to see. I want this so bad just to see Al Sharpton's head fucking explode. I want a white guy born in South Africa, a full citizen of South Africa, to come to America, take the citizenship test, and demand to be called an African American.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton's fucking head would explode. I want to see a white guy that demands to legally be called an African American because that's what he is.
Actually, they've dealt with that, because what the ones you're talking about, most of the white South Africans either speak English or Afrikaans, and Afrikaans being their descendants mainly from the Dutch. Some English, but mainly from the Dutch. And so when they come over here and they demand to be called an African American, the African American community has given them an appendage. Dutch African American.
No. I want to see him going, you know what? I'm African. I am now an American. I am an African American, the same as Snoop Dogg and Al Sharpton. I am an African American.
And I want all of the, you know, I want the NAACP to pay for my college, and I'll apply to the United Negro College Fund, and I am African American.
Yes, I am African American, the same as Barack Obama, half.
But, there was people, speaking of dumb people that I work with, there's one girl that I work with that she said two amazingly dumb things. One, she said that Africa was a country, not a continent. It's all just one country. And they speak Afrikaans, which was broad
country.
Yeah. They speak Afrikaans, not Afrikaans or Afrikaner, but Africans. They speak Africans, and that was brought to them by the English. They couldn't speak until the English came in and taught them how. And I'm like, okay, I could maybe understand it if she said Swahili.
Does she somehow think that they communicated like the predators do? Click, 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 click.
There are some click languages in Africa where they do.
I know, but I mean, does she think that's all Africa is, like the predator language?
I guess. I don't know. And then the other dumb thing that she said that modern paganism, modern Wicca, was derived from the Native American religion. I looked at her, I said, which one? She said the only one.
There's only one, yes. God damn it.
All Native Americans. So Native Americans, congratulations. You're all members of the same tribe.
Well, I want to go back to this change in geography thing in a sec.
Okay.
But speaking of, I recently caught, and I'm not changing the subject, I recently caught a Star Trek The Next Generation episode. It was the third episode of the entire series. Do you remember Code of Honor?
No, I don't.
It is one of the most offensively racist stereotypes you can get.
Okay.
And I do mean racist to the point where they fired the director halfway through shooting it.
Really?
And see, the real shame is this was our true introduction to Next Generation. Because you had the two-hour pilot, which, you know, was a pilot, so it was just a giant two-hour exposition dump.
Right.
Then you had the first regular episode, which was The Naked Time, which was basically a remake slash sequel of a classic Trek episode. So this was the first totally original Next Generation episode, right?
Right.
The one where a black African planet based in like, ha 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 ha, Africa! And, you know, they're dressed in traditional African garb and all that. Where they kidnap, her name just fell out of my head, Tasha.
Tasha Yar.
And whatnot. The script did not indicate any of that. The script said it's a backwards culture. The director decided backwards culture means Africa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy fucking race. I mean, if you read, like Will Wheaton mentions it in his book, that this episode was hard to work on even, you know, at that time. And Roddenberry and them figured out what was going on halfway through it, fired the director, but they were so deep into production and they'd already shot half the episode, they couldn't change anything.
Wow.
So it is just a shockingly racist depiction of backwards means African, right?
See, there are two ways he could have gone with that. We could end up with what we did at Planet Africa, or if he wanted to be the, I think equally as offensive, other way, we could have ended up with Planet Alabama.
Except, see, that one I don't think would be as offensive, because to me, redneck is stupid and backwards. Well, that's a topic we'll talk about in a minute anyway. But change of geography. Not so much geography, but I don't care what science says. And yes, this is the one time I'm going to go against science. Pluto's a fucking planet as far as I'm concerned.
Nope.
Pluto is a fucking planet.
Nope.
Okay, I grew up with Pluto as a planet. I was taught Pluto was a planet. Pluto's a planet to me. You don't go changing my fucking solar system on me.
My very educated mother just made us 9. That's our new solar system. The pizzas fell off.
Pluto's a planet.
Pluto is not. It's a dwarf planet. Because if we call Pluto a planet, there's an ungodly poopload of other stuff out there that orbits our sun and is part of our solar system that we would also have to call planets, and we would end up with something like, last count, 132 or something like that.
Then what about Planet X?
There is no Planet X.
Theoretically, there is. They think noticing wobbles and whatnot that, and going through patterns, NASA has a theory, and obviously our lifetime will never be able to prove this, that there's a planet that is on a gigantic elliptical orbit that it passes through our solar system once every 4 or 5 millennia, and it is part of our solar system between, I think it's Pluto and Uranus, that it's in our solar system for a couple of 100 years at a time. And right now they're just calling it Planet X.
So it would just have to fly in and whip the hell around the sun in order to keep that orbit up.
Kind of. And they say science says this can happen because of, you know, like basically as soon as it starts to lose its orbit, the gravity wells from the planets it's passing between push it back. So it stays in its orbit when theoretically it shouldn't if it was not passing through between these other planets. So technically Planet X is part of our solar system, but we will not be alive the next time it actually enters it.
So out of curiosity, is this the infamous, what is it, Planet Uluru or whatever?
Yeah,
That's on a collision course with Earth?
Oh, no. This one's too far away. Worst thing, I'm thinking of a billiards game. It like hits Pluto, which ricochets into into Neptune, which ricochets into Saturn, which, you know, and it's like, no, it's a giant billiard game.
No, you know what exactly will happen? It will ricochet into a comet. The comet will come between the Earth and the Moon, breaking
Thundar!
The moon in half.
And then we get Thundar.
There we go.
That's how Thundar happened. There we go. Runaway planet.
By the way, okay, since we're doing a random episode, here's a bit of breaking news. Just came out today, and I have never said this in my life, ever, but I'm going to agree with you on one thing. Fuck you, Disney.
What part?
They closed LucasArts.
Yeah, you kind of didn't see that coming?
Well, I kind of saw it coming. I would like to see some of the, but that's they've taken all of their future titles and all of their current titles and just scuttled them.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, when Disney bought LucasArts, we're thinking, yes, injection of cash, a return of some of our favorite game. You know, there could be another Day of the Tentacle out there. There could be another Full Throttle. You know, God forbid another Indiana Jones game, something decent. Nope, scuttled.
Did you see, and again,
150 people out of work.
Did you see that one meme? And I don't normally find memes funny, but this one, it was a great shot. It shows like Chef Ramsay yelling at somebody on Hell's Kitchen, and it says, "It's so unfinished, EA would publish it." I thought, okay, that was pretty fucking, that was a pretty good shot, actually, at EA there.
What else have I seen him? Oh, yeah, your chicken was so undercooked it just crossed the road. Or why did the chicken cross the road? Because you undercooked it that much.
I just thought, you know, it's so unfinished, EA would publish it. Okay, that was a really good nut shot, right? Yes, EA right there.
Yes, it was. Yes, but it was.
Let's talk about, you know, we talked in a couple episodes ago about embracing the dumb.
Yes.
Okay, I don't know why it was on, because I don't watch a lot of normal TV anymore, but either Nathan or Melissa was watching, they had a Duck Dynasty on. You've seen that show on A&E?
I've never seen it. I'm familiar with the premise, but I've never seen it.
It's basically, yeah, being a redneck is fucking awesome.
To the extent of Honey Boo Boo, or
no, to the point of like what I'm about to bring up in this episode. One guy, like, he owns this big company or something.
It makes duck calls.
The big rich CEO guy. And he's got a big beard, long hair and everything. He's got a real nice house, and he wears nice clothes. And his, like, grandpa or uncle or, you know, sister, brother, whatever, you know, it's a fucking redneck family, so I'm sure they're all related closer than they should be. But they're like, you got citified. You lost your redneckness. We got to take you out and redneck you back up. And it's like, what, so being an inbred, and you know, they're out mudding and all this, they're like, we're gonna put the redneck back in you, boy. And I'm going, this isn't something to be proud of, Scott.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. Yeah, being it a fucking evolutionary throwback is not something to be proud of.
Okay. Number one, you're wrong. Nothing new about that.
Oi.
Okay, the idea of the inbred redneck is ingrained in society, but if you
there's
actually
also truth to it.
No, there isn't.
Yes,
no,
there is.
No, shut the fuck up and let me talk.
Punch me. I dare you.
I nut shotted you one episode. I will.
God damn it! You know what? Fuck you back.
Stop hitting the arm of my chair and trying to convince the audience that we're hitting each other.
Yeah, just blow the fucking illusion.
That's
shit
right.
Asshole.
So anyway, okay, first off, let's look at your terms. If you actually go down to the South, redneck is something to be proud of, and hang on. Then there is hick. The hick is the inbred. In the North, hicks are what we see as rednecks. Rednecks in the South are actually revered because, number one, a redneck has an income. Redneck has a job.
But whether in this thing, they were yelling at him that he's been citified because he wears
on,
nice clothes.
Hang on. Okay, number two, rednecks are actually quite ingenious. You can give a redneck a problem, and they will use country engineering to figure that shit out and fix it. And they will build some of the most amazing stuff.
I don't agree, but
yeah, you'd be surprised. I'm going to have to introduce you to real redneck culture, because there is, I have to say that there is something to redneck culture that actually stands true, and they're not dumb inbred hicks. The people that have been out in the sticks for too long, refuse to work, and hate the government, that's your hick.
You ever, you know, and I'm sure you have gone through like the Appalachians.
The Appalachians, yes.
I'm sorry. That is like, Deliverance was not a fucking exaggeration. You go, this bloodline is so thin that it's just water at this point. It's like, there's no way there's not inner, you know, I swear there was a radiation spill from the fucking mutants there.
In some cases, I'll agree. And I've met some hicks that live in the Appalachians. I've also met some brilliant rednecks, including some great moonshiners that make quite a good living moonshining. And you have to have some intelligence to do that well.
You know, because I don't think it's right to go, oh, you've been citified. You wear nice clothes. You got a nice house. You bathe every day. You've been citified.
Now, they don't do the bathe every day thing. I mean, yes, there is the citified redneck. Go to Atlanta.
Scott, then answer me. Why is it something to be proud of that I don't bathe for a week, that I eat with my fingers because utensils is a city thing?
What the hell are you talking about? Because
that's what this episode of Duck Dynasty was like. We need to bring you back to your roots, boy.
Okay, number one.
And it's like, why is that something to be proud of?
Are you not proud of your family?
Fuck no, you've met my family.
Well, I wouldn't be proud of your family either. But see? For those of us that have families to be proud of, going back to your roots is a good thing.
I disagree. I don't think you should be devolving. I think you should be evolving.
I agree, and you can actually do both.
No, because then you'd just stop where you are. No, you're pulling in both directions simultaneously.
You can
do both.
You can be a CEO and hold a very, very good corporation, and then on the weekends take a truck that you've sunk a lot of money into and might blow an engine on, trailer it out to a mud pit, and go through and enjoy yourself.
Then you're insane and you need to stop being CEO.
You can sit down and have a filet mignon with a burgundy reduction and shiitake mushrooms and a beer.
No, see, that I don't agree with that kind of comparison because, I brought up Chef Ramsay earlier in that joke. I don't get this whole fancy food, it needs to be fine dining, and then, Chef Ramsay always looks down on, well, it just tastes like normal, macaroni and cheese. There's no oomph to it. And when you add 9 different spices and 14 mushrooms and all that, you make something that looks like the dog shit in it. That's not appetizing in the least. What is this deal with, fancy food? This is like $100 a plate. And people are going, oh my God, this is so good. And that when you actually eat it, you go, this barely tastes any different than Kraft mac and cheese. I don't get why I'm paying 100 times
the price. Says the man who has never been out to a luxury meal in his life.
I have when I was a kid. My parents always did that kind of shit. I don't like that food. It doesn't mean I haven't tried it.
Okay.
There's a difference. It's like the way Brad always gives me shit over not liking any movie after 1995. And all these other people go, oh, well, you haven't seen such. And it's like, no, I didn't like the movie. I didn't say I didn't see the movie. For whatever reason, not liking something means, well, you didn't even give it a try. No, it means I didn't fucking like it.
Okay.
There's a difference.
See, and for me, when it comes to food, there's two different things. There's eating and then there's dining. And they're two very different things. Eating is the comfort food. For instance, the macaroni and cheese bake that my wife made the other day that was all kinds of yum. That's what I plan to have for dinner. It's a comfort food. It's very, very good. I enjoy it like you wouldn't believe. Chicken soup. The staples of everyday eating.
A frozen pizza.
It's a lot of people see frozen pizza as comfort food. And then there's dining. Dining to me means getting dressed up, going out to the fancy restaurant, ordering a 4 or 5 course meal. And the dining is there for the experience of the taste. It's not there to fill you up. It's there for the taste and the experience and the people that you dine with.
And well, see, I've never been one of those, like you said, like a 4 or 5 course meal. I don't mind that kind of thing. I'm one, and this is where maybe I am weird with how I eat. I don't like to mix flavors. You can have the side, 4 different sides in your main meal, and people will take a bite out of each time they're going to eat something. And I go, I can't do that. I need to eat all the macaroni, then I eat all the beans, then I eat all the peas. I can't have some beans, some peas, and some macaroni. I can't do that.
Are you a plate rotator?
I need to finish the plate, then I'll start the next one. No, that's the way I eat.
I always laugh because my stepfather ate that way. He was a plate rotator. He would he loved steak, potatoes, and corn on the cob.
So see, like, okay? I don't mind the multiples, just he would, not together.
But yeah, he would have on the same plate steak in one area, potatoes in another area.
He'd finish off one, spin the plate.
He'd eat the steak, he'd spin the plate, eat the potatoes, spin the plate again, eat the corn. I always call them plate rotators or plate spinners.
Yeah, I don't like the mixture. It's fine if they're you eat all them in the same sitting, but not together. Maybe I'm strange in that regard.
You're not alone. And you know, obviously fine dining is not for you, because in essence, to fine dining would be to take the flavor of corn, the flavor of steak, and the flavor of potatoes, reduce it down into a little amuse-bouche and serve it as an appetizer. Amuse-bouche means a bite. So you combine all these.
I'm thinking of like those KFC bowl things.
No. These are little tiny bite-sized things that you pick up with a dainty fork and shove the whole thing in your mouth and go, that was good. I wish there were more. Seriously, that's what amuse-bouche means to me. It's a small bite is what it is. And you're like, that was tasty. I wish there was more. And that's the mark of fine dining. If you're left at the end going, I wish there was more because I just paid $75 and now we have to go to McDonald's in order to fill up. You know, it's
just... maybe I'm not into fine dining. I'm not into fast food, though, either. I can't stand McDonald's. I mean, the closest I get to fast food, Dairy Queen. I'll go get a Blizzard. That's the closest I'll get to fast food.
Or there's pizza. You do pizza.
But I don't consider pizza fast food, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't consider Papa John's.
They can serve it at McDonald's, it's fast food.
And I don't
they
eat,
had
I don't
pizza,
eat
my friend.
McDonald's or Subway pizza. Okay? But, you know, to me, like Subway, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Hardee's, if you can find one, and stuff like that, Carl's Jr. and all that, that's fast food. The only thing I'll get at those places is a soda.
So what about Steak and Shake or Five Guys?
We don't even have a Steak and Shake here, do we?
There's one. I think there's one in Appleton now.
I was going to say, I don't even...
Which is about a half hour south of us.
I've heard Brad bring it up, but that's Illinois. Five Guys, I went there once to try and get them to advertise back when I was doing Midnight, but I've never ate there.
And I mean more, not necessarily those restaurants specifically, but the concept, the make-to-order. You come in, you say, I want it, because I enjoy Steak and Shake when I get it, and I like Sonic does this.
Our Sonic just went under recently.
One of them, yeah. One of them. There's still one in town.
We still have another one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, over by the Ghost Town Mall.
The
one by East Town Mall is still open.
The other one was next to the other mall.
Right. And it closed.
Okay.
Anyway, Sonic does this and a couple others where you go in and as opposed to being food manufacturers like McDonald's where they go, okay, it's time for the rush, make
500 burgers.
Make 132 patties and throw them in the warmer and then when they arrive, we'll make them to order. You know, but no, these people actually start with raw meat, throw it on the grill, make you a decent
hamburger. A lot of places do that. You know, like Frank's in Appleton. I love their you know the pizza pasta. Everything is made literally to order. They don't make the shit. I don't know how this doesn't get shut down. There's a restaurant in Sturgeon Bay that serves chicken. They make it all at noon.
Yeah.
And then they just leave it in like the...
In the warmers.
In the warmer and whatnot all day for the dinner rush. And I'm going, dude, you are really on that line of making people fucking sick. That cannot be legal doing that. It can't be.
I think it's legal because of how they store it.
It's not safe, at least.
Yeah, it's not appetizing. I know what restaurant you're talking about, and it's not appetizing. I think it's
their
perfectly
pizza's
safe.
Their pizza's not too bad, but their chicken, yeah. You never want the chicken.
Now, the one place, there is a place in Green Bay that severely disappointed me.
Which place?
I have been, ever since I moved up here to Wisconsin, I have been searching for good barbecue. And there is a place down, you know, Dave's Pit down in Appleton that serves decent barbecue. It's okay. It's not great. But I have been searching for good barbecue. There was a barbecue pit that opened up at least they advertised as a barbecue pit. And you walk in and they've got the Gangnam or Gingham, the Gangnam. That would be a completely different, but the Gingham tablecloth and they've got the right decor and everything like that. And then I did a little read and found out that they're a fast food barbecue chain and it tasted awful. And
do you remember, I only know about the one that was in Milwaukee, so I don't know if there was one closer to us or not. I cannot remember the name of it because this was in the 80s that I was there. Because I remember right before I was in high school. One of those Asian places where the hot plate's right around, you know, you're all the tables are on the hot plate. They make the food right in front of you and they're flipping the utensils all over the place.
Like a Benihana is a well-known chain that does that.
Okay, like I said, I cannot remember if that's what it was, but I just remember like that was just, hoi-hi, hoi-hi, and they're flipping the fucking utensils and, you know, they're cooking everything right in front of you and then just, hoi-hi, and right onto your plate and shit. Yeah. It's like, man, it's dinner and a show.
Yes. That's hibachi style, and that's the whole point. It's dinner and a show. And I love places like that. We've got Nakashima.
And like I said, the closest I saw was Milwaukee. I don't know of one in Green Bay or Appleton at all.
There's one in Appleton, one in Green Bay. I know Nakashima is one, and then there's another one that's owned by the same people. But we've got two here in Green Bay. You've got Nakashima, which is really good, and then you've got Tim San's, which... If you can imagine a restaurant named Tim San's, which is where a white guy does all of the twirly bits, and it's not good.
Are you being racist that a white guy can't do that?
I'm not being racist. I'm saying that if you go to Benihana, you 9 times out of 10, you're going to get
an Asian.
If you go to Nakashima of Japan, it's owned by an Asian family, staffed by
white
Asian family members. In the front, and then in the back is a bunch of Mexicans, just like every restaurant.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because guess who is cooking your food in America? It's a Mexican.
Doesn't matter what kind of food it is, it's a Mexican.
Unless it's a Taco Bell, then it's a white guy.
No, I've noticed a lot of it's a black guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny. But nonetheless, you know, it's dinner and a show. It's called Hibachi Style Cooking, and I love it. That's one of the places I'll go on my birthday. Because, yeah,
I just remember my parents were taking us to a Brewer game, so that's why we stopped at the one in Milwaukee.
You probably went to Benihana, which is a chain here in the U.S. I don't know if they're worldwide or not.
Also, we got some more listener reactions. They really, multiple people really like our obscure cartoon episodes.
I know.
Because they're like, I had totally fucking forgot about just, you know, for example, Dino Saucers.
Right.
You played the opening, and it's like just memories came flooding over me of watching that before school and shit. Yeah. So people like the obscure cartoon episodes.
And we're getting to the point where
we're running out of obscure cartoons, damn it.
We're going to have to really look into some obscure cartoons and find the weird ones out there.
Maybe ones that we barely remember.
Exactly.
I don't think we ever played Groovy Ghoulies.
No, we didn't do Groovy Ghoulies. I barely remember that one. And of course,
Tarzan and the Secret Seven. Remember them?
Nope.
From Filmation?
Nope. Don't remember that at all. So
I remember Tarzan and the Secret Seven, early Filmation stuff.
Of course, what's been running through my head lately, and I actually posted on the Facebook about this, has been the Nickelodeon really did hold a complete monopoly on the kids' variety show or the kids' live action.
Like You Can't Do That on Television kind of stuff?
Show for a long time. Like You Can't Do That on Television.
Double Dare. That's more of a game
you've
show.
You've got the game shows like Double Dare and stuff like that. But I'm talking about the stuff that aired on SNICK. Like the very first one, which was a Saturday Night Live for kids, was Roundhouse.
And that was kind of a
Saturday Night Live in Living Color mashup.
And I do not remember. I saw your post about that. I don't remember that one. Yeah.
And then there was the successor to Roundhouse was All That.
Again, you're getting into the era where I was. To me, Nickelodeon was the 80s. It was Danger Mouse, Count Duckula, You Can't Do That on Television, Star Trek, the animated series. Yes, they used to run Star Trek, the cartoon, on Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't. They're like, Star Trek? Really? Yeah, it was between Count fucking Duckula and You Can't Do That on Television.
Oh, yeah. And a couple other, but yeah, you were big on Nickelodeon in the 80s. I remember Nickelodeon in the 90s, and basically, it was somebody was sitting at a studio going, hey, what if we did a Saturday Night Live thing? And, of course, they had SNCC, which was, you know, all that, Adventures of Pete and Pete, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
But they actually did that. Maybe not Nickelodeon.
Hey, Dude.
Even though the first three episodes are considered lost because even the studio never recorded them, in 1979, You Can't Do That on Television was live.
Right.
You know, in Canada, and nobody recorded the first three episodes, so they're considered lost. No fan recordings of the first three live episodes have ever shown up. So if you didn't watch them in 79, too bad.
Yeah,
but that was kind of a live variety show. They had musical acts and interviews and then the sketches. And it's not that You Can't Do That on Television that you remember.
Right, right. I mean, the You Can't Do That on Television that we remember that was around in the 80s was the comedy skit show.
Right, and apparently, from what I've read, the first season, it was more like you pointed out, a Canadian kids' Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I know.
And it was live.
Yeah, and what was Lorne Michaels involved in that? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Because I know he's one of our Canadian imports.
Yeah, that does Saturday Night Live, but I'm not sure if he was involved in that or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the other thing. That really bugs me when you find these lost, you know, a live broadcast that no one recorded. Like those You Can't Do That on Televisions or...
A lot of the early Honeymooners.
And now they're technically not lost, but they're never going to come out, the first two Mystery Science Theater episodes.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the rights when they aired them.
Right.
And there are no fan recordings. The first fan recording of MST3K is the third episode.
Right.
And he's like... Kevin Murphy said he has, you know, the masters in the vault,
but he can't do anything with them.
So unless some fan pops up that, hey, on the back of an old tape from 1988, I have the first two episodes, those first two Mystery Science Theaters are considered lost. There's the first, what, five seasons of Doctor Who are completely lost?
Yeah, I was going to say there's the...
They're not completely lost. They still have the audio of them.
Yeah,
and they released them on DVD and I think maybe even on VHS in the 90s with just still photographs over the audio.
Yes,
but the episodes proper are completely lost
because tape was expensive.
Yeah, and nobody thought you were ever going to rerun this shit. Over it.
Yeah, it's a kid's show for the BBC. Nobody cares.
Yeah, it aired. It, you know, we probably aired it twice. Just record over the fucking thing.
Exactly, and it's a shame, really, but. Well, it happens.
It's the same thing with, like, when I say MTV, I mean real MTV, you know, back in the 80s and early 90s when MTV was real.
Music television.
All those VJ segments, they didn't save any of those. So if fans that don't have any of that stuff recorded, it's gone. MTV doesn't have any. Like USA Network. 5 years ago, I think. And now you would think this is the kind of thing you would save just for this kind of occasion. USA Network actually put a call out on the bootleggers' boards. Hey, guys, we want to do like a, you know, 30th anniversary or whatever anniversary it was of USA Network. We're looking for any of you that have old promos or interstitials on tape to send us because we don't.
Wow.
You would think you would have saved all your old interstitials or the... on-air promos, wouldn't you? Instead of having to go to bootleggers 30 years later and go, hey, did any of you guys happen to record these? Because we didn't.
Well, you think about it. We didn't save our interstitials or promotions for when we worked in TV news. None of them.
Well, technically, the air check tape would have those.
Yeah, but...
Technically, they are saved. Not that we would have access, but...
And how many times did you record over an air check tape? Once a year.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of sad that, I mean, in this day and age where you think everything, there's this record, you know, there's that idiotic meme, Pixar, it didn't happen.
Right.
In this day and age, you would think that it's rare to find something new where you go, there's no pics. You know, nobody recorded this fucking thing.
Speaking of which, I was listening to an NPR show on podcast called This American Life.
I don't like that show, but okay.
I know you don't like
that
show. Well,
the format is just so stupid.
I understand. However, not this past episode, Tribes, but the one before that, and I can't remember the title of it, but it's the episode before Tribes. The last segment is all about the Avery trial and the Avery case.
Oh, the Stephen Avery?
And guess where they ripped the news audio from? Guess who their lead anchor person talking is?
Bob or Stacy or Stacy. Diana?
Stacy. I heard her voice and I was like, I know you.
I know that. I know that lady.
I recorded that audio.
I remember, dude, I know you. I think you'd already gotten quit at that point by the time the verdict came down.
No. I was there for the entire Avery thing. Yeah.
Were you there the day the verdict came down on a fucking Saturday when Diana was not prepared?
Yes.
Because for those that don't know, You pre-write the stories for both eventualities, that conviction or acquittal, and you know, so that way you've got scripts ready when it comes down, you can hit with breaking news.
Yep.
And nobody thinks the jury's going to come back on a fucking Saturday afternoon.
Right.
So they had these all set for the two main weekday anchors. 3 p.m. on a Saturday. So the weekend crew is not prepared at all. The scripts all say Stacy or Bob.
Because don't you remember you and I were at lunch? We were there that Saturday.
I would have been running assignment desk, so I would have been there regardless.
You were running assignment desk. I was out at lunch.
I think I remember when I got the call. Verdict came down, and I'm like, oh, fuck, everybody's gone. I got to get everybody back here in 5 fucking minutes.
Because I was walking into the studio door basically when my cell phone vibrates like you wouldn't believe, and I just look back and you were at the assignment desk going, you're here.
I remember Diana coming in because I'd called her, and I remember her coming in, there's a verdict.
Didn't she
I mean she was all frazzled, you know.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, no makeup, no hair.
Well, because
made.
We hadn't gone on the air at all yet, so nobody had prepared anything.
Right. Right.
So it was like, what the fuck do you mean there's a verdict? It's like, I'm not prepared for this.
I remember that. Yeah, God, that was fun. That was news. That was what news was supposed to be like. Oh, shit, stuff is happening. We got to do something.
The other one I remember is... And I just remember, you remember Rachel Stockman. She was such a nice,
she was such a nice, quiet little
producer. 10 minutes before we go on the air with the 10 o'clock, I get a phone call from Milwaukee. Brett Favre is retiring. He's like, I'm sorry, I just blew up your whole show.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, fuck. Everything we've worked on for the last 5 hours.
Yep.
Gone. Because we've got to now cover this shithead.
Yep.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
I remember that
all
too.
The feeds I was taking and all the editing, all the scripts, all the phone calls.
Gone.
It's just gone. In news, it can happen just that fucking quick.
Yep. And that's another thing that people like is our news episodes, and we're running out of stories.
Well, we have a lot more, but legally we can't tell some of them.
Right. Right.
There are certain things we legally cannot speak of
yet. But nonetheless, you know, I appreciate you guys joining us on this random
probably
episode.
Going to be the worst episode we've done.
Probably, but I think stream of consciousness is fun. You guys, a lot of people are right in and are like, "Are you and Josh like this in real life?" Well, this is stream of consciousness. This is how we are.
Except sometimes Scott yells at me when I say funny stuff over dinner, and he's like, why didn't you save that for the show? Yeah. I remember we were getting a pizza once, and I told you about how I had that dream that I was being fisted by monkeys, and you're like, why didn't you say that on the air? God damn it! It's like, you don't tell me that now!
Faggot Josh, fisted by monkeys.
It was a dream I had. I was being fisted by monkeys.
There's the new meme right there.
I had a dream I was being fisted by monkeys. Turned out I had to poop really, really bad, and that's why.
Fact.
Wow. Idiot.
Don't call me an idiot.
Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code STATIC to get those 10 free things.
Yes.
Or
also,
10 gifts, whatever.
10 gifts. Also, if you do go to 1201beyond.com, we have some Amazon links up there, including some recommendations. And They're worth checking out. I refreshed the recommendations. I haven't done it for the UK site yet, but I've done it for the US.
Damn Brits.
I refreshed them. So there's new stuff up there. And we always say donate. Oh, wait, 10 seconds. I don't have time to explain this. But you can also tip us directly. 1201beyond@gmail.com. We will see you later. Bye.